Well, hello there. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber here at the Word of the King, the Holiness Bibles for the Blind.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 4 tells us that where the Word of the King is, there is power. We may say unto him, what doest thou?
All right. Up to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. While you're opening up to that, I'm going to go ahead and read something here entitled Musing with the Lord. The author of this wrote, I hope I'm not ungrateful, Lord. When my way is rough, I want to cry to you and say, oh Lord, it is enough. I feel like I'm a burden now. There's little I can do. Don't you think it would be best if I came home to you? I'd rather be in heaven, Lord, where all is joy and peace, where there are no tears and heartaches and pleasures never cease. When I think of you, dear Lord, and the sorrow that you bore, and though I'm old and suffering, I know you suffered more. And then you too knew grief and pain, and there were times you wept. Your soul was filled with sorrow, but in your heart you kept the firm resolve that to the cross of suffering you would go to give your life a sacrifice because you loved us so. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry I complained, and I will try to be patient, loving, and content until you send for me. The following prayer is an example of one that you can use as you come to God. There at that last part there, oh, I'm sorry, I complain, and I will try to be patient, loving, and content until you send it for me. So, specifically here, I'm talking about patience, James 5, starting in chapter 7, I'm going to read all the way down through verse 11. Patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Verse 10, take, my brethren, the prophets that have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Verse 11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, but the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now, verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. When I think of patience, be patient, therefore, brethren, I'm reminded of in Galatians chapter 5, read the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If we remember in our patience before the Lord, that he is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance, and he is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness. We ourselves, as we seek him for the strength, can receive strength from him to be all the more long-suffering. And long-suffering and patience go hand in hand. We're long-suffering, we'll be patient. We're patient, we'll be long-suffering. And long-suffering is one of them, the fruit. So the Spirit, against which there is no law. And as we exercise patience before God, as the husbandman who waited for the early and latter rain, we ourselves, by his grace, will find ourselves more willing to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. Precious fruit of the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ himself in the one gospel here in the gospel of St. Mark. Spoke concerning time of harvest. Verse 23 of St. Mark 13. Take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. Verse 24. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. The stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. Verse 26. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and great glory. And then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. So we see the harvesting of God's own elect as the early and latter rain are complete. And that seed which the Son of Man himself had sown, Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has harvested. And as we prayed earlier, Jesus himself said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." His kingdom will officially have come to this earth. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that prayer will have officially come to pass and fulfilled. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. And therefore, we must have long patience for it as well. We must, what John the Baptist say, he must increase, I must decrease. So may we, by the grace of God, decrease all the more each and every passing day, and the Lord himself in his fullness increase. If we perceive the early and latter rain, verse 8, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So again, even as we have Christ himself as our example, and he with patience endured long suffering, the wrath of God in our place on the cross, according to Hebrews 12, verse 2. Even as we have him as an example, we must seek God for the grace, more grace, to follow his example, to walk as he walked, put him on daily, as the scripture says, seeing ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh, like it says in Romans. Remembering, as it is written in 1 Peter, chapter 4, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, the mind of Christ. For he hath suffered in the flesh and ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. Again, like we prayed earlier, Jesus himself told us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." For three of time past, how our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walk in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of lies, speaking evil of you. Verse 5, we should give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. Remembering that as these latter days go on, and the heavenly husbandman himself waits for the latter rain. Mockers will increase, and they will all the more. I think it's strange that we run out with them at the same excess of rye, speaking evil of us. May we, by God's grace, continue to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Lord, help us. Verse 9, James 5. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Grudge not one against another. As we prayed earlier in agreement with our Lord and Savior and the way he encouraged us to pray, forgive us our trespasses, forgive those that have trespassed against us. So we're exhorted here in James 5, verse 9, grudge not one against another, brother, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. We're reminded of the exhortation in Ephesians. Chapter 4, verses 29-32. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And when it comes to this matter of establishing our hearts, I'm reminded of where the Lord Jesus Christ himself spoke of that wicked servant who declared that his Lord had put off his coming, and he himself started living like the devil. And Jesus himself spoke of that day, meaning the day of his coming upon that wicked servant, unawares. May we not think for a moment that our God has put off his coming in the manner that wicked servant did. The book of Hebrews is clear, the word of God is clear in the book of Hebrews, that he that tarrieth shall tarry no longer. And we are not of them who draw back on the petition, but of them that believe in the saving of the soul. Grudge not one against another, brother, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. In the context of the church, when I think of the judge standing before the door, I can't help but be reminded of Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 of Revelation chapter 3. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So that because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not, thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and eat with me. So, yeah, Judge says here, Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. So, the judge standeth before the door, and that the door of the church of Laodicea. And of course, I trust that we are ourselves resolved to not be lukewarm, nor to be cold, but to be hot for Jesus. Verse 10, James 5. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Historical tradition tells us that Isaiah, the prophet, himself was small in half. I don't know if you would bear witness with that, Kenny, but that's what I was told, that's what I was informed. And how would you like to be small in half? Saul in half. Now, I don't know, he may have already given up the ghost at the time they did that. I wouldn't give them the benefit of the doubt thinking they were not cool enough to do that, but I'm sure they were cool enough to saw him in half while he was still alive. But anyways, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for example, suffering, affliction, and of patience. Well, John the Baptist himself gets his head cut off in the charger. It gets paraded around after he has enough courage to confront the king, Herod himself, about an adulterous relation before God, in front of the king himself about his sin. You know, John the Baptist would not get along very well in a 501c3 church today, because last time I looked in a 501c3 church, you're not supposed to confront the king about nothing. But then again, they serve not the King of Kings and Lord of Lords when they operate in such a manner. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. You know, this whole 501c3 thing, you know. Think about it. If you're not going to confront sin, you're not going to judge sin in your own government. How long before you're not going to judge sin in your own life? How long before you're not going to judge sin in the local church? Is it any wonder these 501c3 churches have gotten so pathetic and don't take a stand on nothing anymore? It truly, truly is the devil's masterpiece, as this one brother described it, to destroy the local churches. So part of being patient, establishing our hearts for the coming of the Lord draws nigh, is not seeking to really yoke up with any of these 501c3 outfits that call themselves churches. I'm not saying that it would be sin, maybe just, you know, personally, I can't go to one very well. I can't go to one with a pure conscience myself, personally, because I've just seen too much. I've just been taught too much of the Lord, and I realize too much how it is so, the fruit is just so antichrist, and it's so evil, the fruit of it all. You know, but at the same time, it's like, you know, can I say automatically I would never walk in one, even for just, like, 1 week? Let's put it this way. If I went there, I confess, I wouldn't be going there so much to worship the Lord in that context. People talk about, you know, in the context of me wanting to find a wife, you know, about going to certain churches, and I don't even have really the desire to go to such a church even for that purpose. Never mind the fact that I don't believe, you know, we go to church to find a wife. But anyways, what did God say through Elijah back there, and when Israel was how long I'll give between two opinions. Let's not be halt between two opinions here. Let's say no to Caesar. Let's say yes to Jesus Christ. Behold, we count them happy, which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord. But the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. I think of Ezekiel and how the Lord told Ezekiel to lay on his side for 365 days, I believe it was. Imagine laying on your side for 365 days, and then, like God told Ezekiel to do that. He's talking about patience. Talk about patience. Then think of Jeremiah, caught up there in the dungeon, in the context there, the account as it is in Jeremiah, prophet Jeremiah. Think of the prophet Moses, out there in the wilderness, for all them years, prior to finally being called forth to confront that prince known as Pharaoh. Think of all that he endured leading Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness. God of Israel all the while, his strength. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Reminded of where Jesus Christ said, happy are ye. Keep these things. Word of God declares here, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. We count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. Patience of Job. All that Job went through, that we read of, and yet, he could say with all assurance, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand for the latter day upon the earth, and that after my flesh forms destroy his body, yet in my, and though after my skin forms destroy his body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself and not another. So, we have that assurance that if we give up the ghost before the trumpet sounds, our body goes back to dust, though after our skin worms destroy this body, it shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be fully conformed to the glorious image of our Redeemer as Job himself. What's it say there in 1 John? Every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. So may we seek the Lord for the grace to purify ourselves in patience. Considering the patience of Job, having seen the end of the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I remind there of how it says in the book of Psalms, and the Father pities his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Thank the Lord for his pity. Thank the Lord for his tender mercy toward us. And start to wind down here. Consider this here. Jump down here a couple of verses to verse 17 of James 5. Prophet Elijah, Elias, was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18, and he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Even as we're told in verse 16, that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. May we, by faith, pray and cry out to the heavenly husbandman for that rain, for that light of rain. For that light of rain to rain forth abundantly for his honor, for his glory in these latter days. And may we be willing continually to submit to him, go wherever he says go, do whatever he says do, knowing that he is faithful to work to will and to do with us at his good pleasure, and that he which hath begun a good work in us will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ, knowing that he is able to establish our hearts in the manner in which we're commanded to be patient and establish our hearts for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. May we look to the Lord. May we look to the Lord God, Almighty himself, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, to establish our hearts, knowing that his coming draweth nigh, and knowing that he is tarrieth, shall at one point tarry no longer. As it is written, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Verse 39, but we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Verse 37 of Hebrews chapter 10, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. And in conclusion, we have this exhortation in Titus chapter 2. The grace of God, verse 11 of Titus chapter 2, for the grace of God that bringeth to salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a peculiar people, who is zealous of good works. Verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
Well, we're told, but as many as are the works of the law are under the curse. The curse. Everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, we're told in the book of Galatians, all but here it is. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, shall cleanse you from all sin. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, menial, mortal, sin, whatever you call it, all unrighteousness. God is faithful to forgive those who confess their sins to him through faith in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection alone. For by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. Call upon the Lord today. This is Evangelist Timothy Gruber. Till next time, God bless you and yours.